Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today. All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Turn in your Bibles, as Kevin said. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 14 this morning, and we're going to look at an account and see who is one of my favorite Bible characters, the character of Caleb. And as we look into the life of Caleb, we're going to see some of the characteristics that will help us to live the kind of life that God is calling us to, the kind of life that glorifies God, blesses others, and grows faith. And it's really important, especially as we live in a time right now where life has changed and things are different than they used to be. And so, we have to be careful not to let the circumstances that we're in dictate how we're going to live our lives. In fact, we need to be deliberate about how we live this life. And that's going to include us making choices, like we're going to see Caleb had made some choices, and we're going to have to focus on some parts of our life that normally we don't mess around with because, everything has been normal. Everything has been what we refer to as normal. Well, normal's changed and is continuing to change. And so as that does, we need to sit back and say, okay, start examining ourselves and saying, okay, are there some things I need to address in my life? And if there are, what are they and what do we do? And so we're going to pick it up in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 14. And it says this: "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" Caleb is first mentioned back in Numbers chapter 13 into an account that he's referring to in the listing when the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan, when they first arrived and God led them out of Egypt. And he led them to Mount Sinai, where they were given the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God, the stone tablets. And then they moved to Kadesh Barnea, where God said, okay, go into the land and conquer it. And Moses sends in 12 spies to spy out the land. And in essence, this idea is that they're going to determine the best route to take to go into the land. And they're supposed to bring back a report. What's the strategy we're going to use as we move forward here? And that's, that's always a good thing, that when we're getting ready to make a change, we need to spy out the land. We need to make sure we're not going in blind. So we go and we look at where we're going. Excuse me. I'm all choked up. I'm excited. And so if you have your Bibles open, turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, and we're gonna look at that account really quick because there's some interesting things there too. the spies went into the land, and then they came back with the report. 10 of them said, "No way, no way. There's giants in the land, and they're gonna eat us up." And here's what Joshua said, or what the congregation and all the congregation. Because Caleb and Joshua said, "Forget them, we got this. They have giants. We have God. So no contest. Let's just go deal with it. Let's go do what God said and take the land. He promised to do it. Let's just go do it." And they're so confident that God is going to do what He said that the obstacles in their way just didn't matter. The obstacles were things for God to deal with, not for them to deal with. And so they said, "Let's go." Verse 10 says this: "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones." Here's a reality. When you set out to do what God tells you to do, there's always going to be somebody around you picking up rocks. They're gonna figure out some way to try to stop you, to punish you for obeying God. That's just what we ought to expect when we set out to obey God. Especially when we make an unpopular decision, and they wanted to stone them. You know, people's minds were so twisted by fear and lack of faith in God that they were ready to kill these two guys that wanted to do what God said. How it just happens. We see it in our lives all the time. Last Sunday, I taught a message on faith. That faith is about knowing what God said, knowing what he said in his word, what he said to everybody, and then knowing what he said to us personally, because he'll say things to us personally that he doesn't say to other people, and then us fearlessly doing what we believe God has said to us. Caleb knew that God had promised to give them the land. He believed that God was going to keep his promise, and he was ready to go, he and Joshua. And in Deuteronomy 1, God made a promise to Caleb and to Joshua that he was going to make it all the way through what would end up being a 38-year detour. Remember, they're in Kadesh Barnea because God wanted them to go into the land right then. But because the people rebelled against God, God turned them around and put them on a detour until every adult that was alive at Kadesh Barnea had died. 38 years, ultimately, it was. And it would take that long before Caleb would get the promise that God made to him in Deuteronomy 1. So Caleb is coming to Joshua, and basically he's reminding Joshua, turn back to Joshua 14, he's reminding Joshua what God had said through Moses. Excuse me, verse 7 of Joshua 14. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word to him as it was in my heart. Caleb spoke what was in his heart. He was bold about it. He was confident about it. This is what God said. This is what I saw. This is what I believe. And here it is. And he just said it. And that is something that we need to keep in mind. Even though everyone else around him was disagreeing with him, he said what was in his heart. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Hang on to that phrase, because we're going to see it again. It's important to our text. Verse 9, so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. God promised to Caleb that because you followed me, wholly followed me, I'm going to give you the land that you are walking on. When you walked in, spied the land that you are walking in, I'm going to give you that land. Everywhere you walked, that's what I'm going to give you. That was a promise. And there's that phrase again, wholly followed the Lord. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, all the other adults died with the exception of Joshua. All the rest of them were gone. These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old, yet I am as strong this day as on the day Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Caleb is 85 years old, and he says that he hasn't lost a step. He is just as strong as he was 45 years earlier. I don't know about you, but I am not 85 yet, but I wish I could say that I was as strong as I was when I was 40 today. You young guys probably can't relate to that, but us old dudes can. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Caleb's a tough dude, 85 years old. He comes to Joshua and says, give me the land that God promised me. And oh yeah, he says, there are giants and fortified cities there. Remember those? Remember the giants that everybody was afraid about? They're still there. And the fortified cities, they're still there. And Caleb, notice that Caleb doesn't say, you know what? And oh, by the way, give me that land and send the army with me so that I can conquer it. No, he says, it may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive out the Lord as the Lord, drive them out as the Lord has said. Caleb didn't need anyone but God. It reminds me of the account of Jonathan as an armor bearer when the Philistines had come into the land and they were terrorizing the place and they outnumbered the Israelites by like, you know, 100 to 1 or something like that. And Jonathan takes his armor bearer. Let's go see what will happen if we go and present ourselves to it. Maybe God will give them to us because, you know, God can beat them with just one guy. You know, God can use just one guy and beat his enemies. And so, you know, Jonathan goes up there and sure enough, God, you know, just puts the Philistines in total disarray and they start fighting with each other and killing each other off. And you know, this great victory takes place on God's behalf because one man has the courage to believe God can do the impossible, that which everybody else is terrified to even try. And one man steps up and says, I think I can beat giants if I've got God on my side. And so he goes. And Caleb, in fact, accomplishes a great work for God. Verse 13 in our text. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron was normally Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Again, the giants. Anakim were the giants. Then the land had rest from war. There's that term again. Wholly followed the Lord. Three times in chapter 14, we see that term used in relation to Caleb. If you do a study of that phrase, look it up in the Bible. It only appears 5 times. In the entire Bible, and all 5 of them are directed to Caleb. Once, Joshua is lumped in there with Caleb as well. But 5 times, the Lord says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And Caleb was a man that was living a radical life. It is the life that God is calling all men to live. And here in our text, here in chapter 14, we see 5 character traits of a man who wholly followed the Lord. If we can imitate some of those traits, then we can also live that kind of life. God blessed Caleb tremendously, and he will bless us. And if we will do some of these traits, if we will watch and follow some of these things that Caleb did here, some of the characteristics of Caleb, then we also can be the kind of men that can stand up and do what the rest of the world around us is saying cannot be done or shouldn't be done or whatever they're saying. And believe me, we're hearing, if you're paying any attention to the world around you, people are telling us what we can't do. They're telling us, you know, to be afraid. They're telling us, to cower before whatever is going on around us. And I think men, we need to have a different attitude about some of these things. We need a Caleb attitude about what's going on in the world around us. I want to talk about 5 traits. And the very first one we see here in verse 7, and it is complete integrity. Verse 7 again. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. The idea of integrity, actually integrity and complete are actually almost synonymous in some ways. But you know, we also use the word honesty in relation to integrity, but it's much more than that. The idea of integrity is being whole, being undivided, and we see this Caleb that even though the rest of the people, the rest of the spies, the other 10 spies are bringing a different report, and they're stirring up fear within the body of the congregation of the people of Israel, you know, he says, wait a minute. You know, what? This is what God said, this is what we saw, and this is what we ought to do based on what God said and what we saw. And if we're going to walk in this life, in the life that Jesus came to give us, then we must be men of integrity. We've got to be men that don't back down to what the world is saying, that whatever is in our heart, that God is stirring within our heart, that we have no fear of being the people that he created us to be, that we just let him speak through us. Caleb could have easily seen how things were going around him and chosen to go along with the crowd or to say nothing at all, because that's sometimes what we do. Rather than speaking out, rather than saying what we ought to be saying in some of these situations, what we see going on around us, we just be quiet. And I'm going to challenge you. How often do we remain silent at home when we ought to be speaking up, when we ought to be saying something that's on our heart that we know God is saying to us, and he's calling us to say it to others? We often won't say it because we don't want to stir things up. But brothers, sometimes things need to be stirred up. And we have got to be men of integrity, that when God puts something on our hearts, and we got to be prayerful, we got to be humble, we got to be gentle, we got to be kind, we got to be loving, we got to be all those things. But when God puts something on our hearts, we need to boldly let it out. We need to be real men. We need to be whole men, not hiding ourselves. And integrity also involves, you know, being the same person on the outside as we are on the inside. And if what's coming out of you isn't what God wants it to be, then change it, fix it, be a man, do what's right. Paul exhorted Titus in chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, and said this, verse 6, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. That means be an example to others around you. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. Brothers, we need to be men that we are the example of what it means to be a man of God, that we are a Caleb example. We are letting our hearts out because there are things that God puts in our hearts that he wants out. Be careful not to let your flesh, you know, lead in that, because sometimes we do that. But ultimately, that's what God wants to do. He wants us to be men that are being whole around the people around us. And we're going to live that life that God's calling us to. We got to be people who will just speak the truth in love. And when we don't concern ourselves with the consequences. When Caleb went before the congregation and the other 10 spies were saying, you know, no, there's giants in the land, they're going to eat us up, Caleb said, wait a minute, that's not right. And he spoke up. He told the truth, and we need to do the same thing. Now, most of us are not going to face stoning when we do that. If something comes up, we're not going to face stoning. We might. You know, face someone's wrath. Someone around us might be angry, might be upset with us, but they're not going to stone us. We need to be men of integrity. Second trait we see in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. God had told the Israelites to go and possess the land of Canaan. The 10 spies said no and convinced the people to say no. But Caleb said, let's go. We can take it. We've got God on our side. There's no problem. We can handle this. Let's go ahead. And he said, even says, the people of the land of Canaan are as bread for us to eat. He's saying, we'll eat them up. They're no problem for us. Our second trait is fearless obedience. Caleb was ready to go, willing to be obedient. And in to God, obedience is absolutely necessary. We can be supposedly, I don't know how you actually be a man of integrity and not be obedient. They kind of go together. But it's more than anything, it's more important than anything else we can do. Samuel said to King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15:22, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. Anything else you do in your life is irrelevant if you're not being obedient to God. If you know God is telling you to do something and you're not doing it, then nothing else you do is going to matter. We must be obedient. If you're not doing what God wants, then why are you doing anything that you're calling for God? It doesn't matter how much we give, doesn't matter how much we sacrifice. If it's not what God said, then it just doesn't matter. So far, two traits, complete integrity and fearless obedience. Verse 9, our third trait, verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb went into the land with a plan. He was going to determine the best approach for the army as they take their lead from God to go in and conquer the land of Canaan. He did not question what they were to do. He did not look around the circumstances and say, okay, well, that looks hard. That, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we can actually do that. And you know, how are we going to do that? You know, I always love that. You know, that, you know, we try to answer the how question before we answer the if question. If are we supposed to do this or not? If we're supposed to do it, then the how question almost becomes irrelevant. It's not irrelevant, but that doesn't matter until we've answered the whether or not we should do it question. If we've answered that question, the how question will be answered by God later. God had said, go in and possess the land. That's pretty clear, right? Does anybody have any question what God wanted them to do? He wanted them to go in and possess the land, and Caleb was ready to do that. God said that he was going to drive out the Canaanites before them, that it was going to be as they went in and obeyed God, that God himself was going to push the Canaanites out of their way. Our third trait of someone who is wholly following God is unwavering faith. Caleb had faith, not in himself, or in the army of God, or in the nation of Israel. You know, at that time they had 600,000 men of war, 600,000 men that could take up swords and fight. But that's not what he put his faith in. He had his faith in God. And he said in Numbers 14:8, he said this, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. You know, Caleb believed. He believed God. And he believed in God. And he believed that God was going to do what he said, and that all they had to do was to be a delight to God. And to be a delight to God is just to love and worship him. If you love and worship God, he will delight in you, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God delights in hearts that are filled with integrity, obedient to him, that believe in him, and are willing to obey. Our fourth trait is found in verse 10. Now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming And 45 years earlier, God had made a promise to Caleb that he would be allowed to enter into the promised land. And I mean, think about this for a second, that Caleb was 40 years old when Moses recruited him and sent him into the promised land. And then because the rebellion of the people, he had to go wander into the wilderness for 38 years. What did he do for those 38? What did he do after God promised him? God, as he wandered around, why did Caleb have to wander around the land? What did he do that was wrong? Nothing. He was innocent. He had to pay for the sin of those around him, for the rebellion of his people. He and all of the rebellious people's children had to pay for 38 years the consequence of the rebellion of their parents. Our fourth trait of someone who is wholly devoted, wholly following the Lord, is steadfast perseverance. To persevere is to keep going no matter what the obstacles or difficulties are. You know, that I'm guessing that if we had a show of hands, how many of you have gone through life and experienced obstacles and difficulties, right? I mean, we would all. Somebody raise your hand just so I know you're listening. Okay, thank you, Barry, Kevin, thank you. You know, the reality is that we are going to face those things. We're going to come up against those obstacles. We're going to come up against those difficulties. And what Caleb did is for 38 years, he had to wander around in the wilderness dealing with the consequences of somebody else's sin. When we are persevering, we maintain our strength because we are trusting God to be faithful to his promises. That's what Caleb was clinging on to. He knew God promised to bring him into the land. You got to understand something. When God turned the nation of Israel around and sent them back into the wilderness, he didn't say, oh, by the way, it's going to be 38 years that you have to wait. What he said was, it's going to be until all of the people who are over 20 years old die. Caleb had no idea how long that was going to be. And so he had to persevere day after day after day, wandering around in the wilderness, waiting for God to be faithful. He knew he would be, but he had to persevere. I mean, even this ability to persevere is something we need to recognize, we need to remember as a gift from God. In Galatians 5:22, it tells us it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's not in us. You don't have it in you to persevere. You don't have it in you to be patient. You need God to help you to do that. You need the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Otherwise, you will not be able to persevere. In the Psalms, we are told in Psalm 31, verses 23 through 24, it says, "Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful." Catch that. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. As we face these difficulties, as we face these obstacles to achieving the promises of God, experiencing the promises of God, that we just need to trust in him, hope in him, and be faithful to him. He will preserve us. And he will strengthen us, and he will bring us to that end, to that conclusion. We find our last trait in verse 12 of Joshua 14. "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified, and maybe that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said." We have already said that Caleb was a man who was not afraid. Our fifth and final trait of a man who is wholly following the Lord is courageous action. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is action in spite of fear. Caleb was a man of courage. He knew what to do and then did it. Yeah, I love what he says here in this text. He says, "It may be that the Lord will be with me. It may be. He wasn't even absolutely certain what was going to happen when he went out to attack those giants. He knew God gave him the land, but he wasn't sure about the rest of them. That is an act of faith, a courageous faith. When he says, okay, I know what God wants me to do. I'm not sure how he's going to do it, but if God's with me, then I'm not going to have a problem. And so he was going for it. And I love that about him. Caleb was a man of courage. His courage was a direct result of the other four traits. We need to understand that. Is that all of these things are connected together. Our integrity, obedience, faith, perseverance, and action are all connected. And if we neglect one of them, then we're going to find the rest of them being diminished and suppressed so that we are not able to live as God would call us to. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has called us to courage, to courageous action, to do something that maybe others around us maybe question, maybe even disagree with. But when we recognize God has said it, God has promised this to me, or God has told me, God is leading me in this direction, and my response ought to be obedience. I ought to go do it. I ought to do this thing that God is calling me to do. You know, that God was going to lead him, and God was going to lead Caleb. He knew that, and that God could keep him. God could help him to do whatever he needed to do. In Romans 8:31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" You know, that's what Caleb was saying. Basically, hey, you know, giants? Yeah, so what? You know, they're giants. If, you know, my God is bigger than the biggest of the giants. And so I'm just going to go because I know that God is there. Caleb was a man who just lived this radical life that just believed God. And he believed him, and then he lived this life that acted like he believed him. And if we want to live that kind of life that's full of the presence of God, full of the power of God, full of the glory of God, then we need to decide. We need to choose. We need to choose who we're going to follow. We choose either to follow our flesh, follow our desires, our ideas, our thoughts, or we follow the way the rest of the world is going, which is what most of the people did at Kadesh Barnea. They basically, the 10 spies came back and said, no, there's giants. They're going to eat us up. And everyone believed them. Everyone went with that report. Only two guys stood apart. And we need to be men that will stand apart, that when it comes time to do what needs to be done, we will stand up and say, hey, if our God is for us, who can be against us? And they move forward. If you want to live that kind of life, you have to choose today to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Not partway, not sometimes, but you've got to wholly follow the Lord. And by wholly following him, it's then we have an opportunity of reaching the life that God promised us. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and they may have it abundantly." God wants us to live an abundant life. And there is nothing that can stand in the way of that. Not even COVID-19 can stand in the way of us living an abundant life if we will simply wholly follow the Lord. And you can't do it part way. Guys, this is the thing. We cannot just do it part way. You can't pick one or two of those traits. Say, yeah, I got 2 out of 5. I'm doing okay. You know, I got 3 out of 5. I'm better than average. No, it doesn't work that way. If you want it all, you got to do it all. It's as simple as that. You can't do it part way. Today, gentlemen, would be a really good day to follow the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do come before you asking, Lord, for your hand upon us, that you would lead us and guide us, that you would help us to live our life wholly devoted to you. that this would not be about us. It would not be about the things that we want, but it would be completely and totally about who you are and what you want. That we, Lord God, would be able to humble ourselves before you, to trust you wholly, to walk with you completely, and to be men that really, be Caleb men, Lord God. Be men that even no matter how old we are, we stand up and say, if God said it, I'm doing it. If God's leading, I'm going. If there's an obstacle in my way, my God is bigger than an obstacle. And that we just find ourselves in that place, going where others are afraid to go because they don't believe the way that we believe. We just trust us. Help us to trust you, God, in a way that is so powerful that others are compelled to join us in what we're doing. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are and all that you're doing. And we pray for your blessing on this day. And Lord, your men, I lift these men up to you, all of them. And I ask, Lord God, for anointing upon them, that you would help them to be Calebs, and that they would be so radical in their faith that everyone around them, you know, even the ones that want to throw stones at them, recognize there's something going on, Lord. So I pray, anoint them, be with them, lead them, guide them, protect them, provide for them, Lord God. Keep them safe and help them to lead the people they're called to lead into your presence. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.